Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. As you know, this is our monthly discussion show. Melissa Gould is here. Unfortunately, Tom had a prior commitment, couldn't make it this week. Fran is here. And we have two guest hosts, Richard and Ann Hutchinson, that are sitting in on the show. And welcome. I'm Bob
Thank
Ginsburg.
You.
And tonight's topic is going to be out-of-body experiences. Before we get into it, I mentioned that you can join in the show. If you had any comments or questions or you want to add something to it, the number to call is 1-888-627-6008. And before we get started on our discussion, Fran's going to bring us up to date on FFF happenings.
I have a lot of them.
Okay. Should I say goodnight now?
When I'm done, you can say goodnight. All right. First, Holidays Past Raffle 2015. It's up on the website now. It's waiting for your entries. So let me quickly explain how this raffle works and why you need to enter now, even though the drawing is not until December 23rd. The five winners, each receiving a one-hour medium reading with Tracy Lee Nash, Dr. Neil Zapowski, Nancy Marlowe, Dustin Livers, or Kathy Towell, are chosen from a computer program that selects five numbers randomly from the pool of consecutive numbers that are assigned to each entry. So you need to enter often, and have lots of different numbers. And that means that even though December is a long way away, you can get low numbers by entering now. That having been said, I'm going on. Listen big. This one is big. Listen up. Have you ever tried to bend a spoon using unseen energy? Have you ever called upon spirit to move objects? Have you heard voices from deceased loved ones? These are a few of the scheduled workshop events set for our annual afterlife exploration retreat in Chester, Connecticut, this July 24th through 26th. Don't miss this chance to work directly with certified mediums Janet Nohavik and Joe Scheel, both educated at the Arthur Findlay College in England. And don't miss your chance to learn and experience many hands-on applications that will not only amaze you, but show you that we are certainly more than our physical bodies. It's easy to get to, traveling by plane, train, or automobile, and the food is unbelievable. There are also a few seats left in our upcoming webinar on June 30th, Mediumship 102, with Forever Family Foundation certified medium Joe Scheel. All the details are on our events page on the Forever Family Foundation website. Please follow the directions to reserve your seats. Once you register, your registration will go through an approval process. We've discounted the $20 non-member seats to $5 for our members. And if you like Joe here, and you will, you're going to love him in person at the July retreat. So watch for additional webinars as posted on the Forever Family Foundation events page. Texas people, are you listening? You finally are back on the events map with the FFF certified medium Lee Ashley in Visitations and Validations, an evening of spirit communication on September 15th in Austin, Texas. Thank you to all of our volunteers who stepped forward to make this happen. For our Kim Russo fans, remember when we used to have events with Teresa Caputo and it was easy to get a seat? Kim Russo is taking time off from her busy filming schedule for her two shows, The Haunting of and Psychic Intervention, to donate her time to Forever Family Foundation on October 24th for a celestial evening of spirit communication at Long Island University CW Post Campus in Brookville, New York. Get your seats online on our website while you can. She will be joined by newly certified medium, Joe Peretta. And December, as I said before, is not far away. So those of you who wait for our annual holidays past events, we have two already set up. Joanne Gerber will be our medium in Natick, Massachusetts, and Joe Scheel and Janet Nohavik will join together as a team in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Both events are on December 12th. And finally, please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website, clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive grants and funding that other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us out by joining iGive.com and naming Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, or shopping at Amazon.com using the link on our website to get to Amazon. Then anything in either one of these shopping baskets will generate a donation from those organizations to Forever Family Foundation. And last reminder, visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all event links, information, and registration. And if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. I'm done, Bob.
Okay. So we're talking about out-of-body experiences, and we know that the evidence suggests that we all shed our bodies and continue into another realm upon physical death. But for centuries, people have been reporting going out of their body while they're very much alive. And we thought, you know, we'd explore that. What the foundation did a while back, well, not that long ago, is we sent out a survey. We called it the Gathering Out of Body Survey for this purpose. And we wanted to see, learn about the experiences of our members and participants. So what I thought I would do is first read the results of the survey, and maybe we can comment on what surprises you, what doesn't surprise you. And we also got a load of comments about people describing their experiences, and that we can pick out some of those and talk about that as well. So the first question in the survey was, we just asked people, first of all, we did encourage them to participate whether or not they've ever had an out-of-body. So the first question was, how do you identify yourself? And the question is, do you identify yourself as your physical body, your brain, your mind, or all of the above? We have almost 61% said all of the above. Zero said that they identified themselves as their brain, which I found surprising because I find that the majority of people say that, but I guess we have somewhat
we've
of
educated our listeners.
Right, we have somewhat of a skewed audience, and they know, maybe they know what we think, and so they answered. And, you know, only 2% said that they identify themselves as the physical body. So, you know, to me, that was a bit surprising. The next question was, do you think it's possible for a person to leave their physical body while they're still alive? In other words, you know, can you have an out-of-body experience? And 95.3% said yes. Mm-hmm. Again, probably somewhat skewed because of our audience in the general public. Maybe you wouldn't, I would imagine you wouldn't. You know, what do you think, Richard? You think people would... What kind of percentage in the general public, if you asked that question?
I'd say probably 95% wouldn't believe that was possible.
Really? I really would think in this day and age and with the consciousness shift, you might tip a little over 50. 50% would say
I don't think it's that high. You know, you'd like to think it was that high, but I don't think we reached that level yet.
We asked the question, when a person goes out of body, where do you believe that they go? And one of the questions was to another dimension of existence. They remain in the physical world. They just have a different perspective. They go to the same place that they will when they die, meaning the spirit world, or I don't think it's possible to go out of body. And it was kind of a equal split. 52% said another dimension of existence. 40% said another dimension of existence, and 35% that they remain in the physical world. They just have a different perspective, meaning that they're not going anywhere, you know, just thinking about it differently. And then 15% said that they go to the same place that they will when they die. You know, that's when you go out of body, you're in the same realm as you would when you physically die. So anybody have any...
Was there a question of all of the above?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't. Yeah,
because all of the above would basically, I think, would be the answer.
Yeah.
Are these people, you don't know based on your question, actively attempting to do the out-of-body?
No, the directions would just answer the questions whether or not you've ever had an experience, you know. So we don't know, you know, who's trying and who's not. Well, the next question we say, have you ever knowingly had an out-of-body experience? 51% said yes, mm-hmm. and 41% said no, 7% didn't respond. That, to me, was really shocking, you know, that 51% of the respondents have had an out-of-body experience. Again, mm-hmm. I would have guessed in the general public that it might be something like 10%, you know. So you have any thoughts on that, Ann?
Well, I think that a lot more people have had what you would call a spontaneous out-of-body experience. Now, maybe they've only had one or two occur. The trick seems to be trying to have controlled out-of-body experiences, and that seems more...
That takes
challenging
more training.
To get there.
Yeah. We asked, do you desire to have an out-of-body experience? Would you want to have one? 27% said yes. And again, this was from the pool of people mm-hmm. that said that they did not ever have an out-of-body. So we're asking, would they like to? And 27% said that they would. 4% said that they would not. 9% said that they were unsure, and more people just didn't answer. 59% gave no response. We asked, select the answer that best describes your out-of-body experience. This is only people that have had an out-of-body experience. One of the answers was, it took place while I was dreaming. It was part of a near-death experience. It took place while I was awake, but in an altered state of consciousness. It was a result of my deliberate attempt to go out-of-body, and it was a result of me having taken some sort of medication or drug. We had... almost 18% said that it took place while they were dreaming. I would have thought that would be higher, and then 22% said it took place while they were awake, but in an altered state of consciousness, and the rest was split up on the other. So,
Of the dreaming, I mean, I would, if we're including dreaming, then I would think a lot more people would feel that they've had it just. Where your dreams take you.
Right.
But how do you call that out of body, per se?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, a lot of people, very common theme among dreams is people fly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a common thing. I mean, a lot of therapists and professionals don't think of that as anything spiritual. It's just maybe there are other, you know, physical reasons for it. But is that an out of body experience? If you're dreaming, you're flying.
Actually, my opinion, all dreams are out-of-body experiences. I mean, the impression is that every time you go to sleep at night, you leave your body. Sometimes we're only inches out of our body, but we have to kind of leave our body so that we can energize, the spirit can recharge. And so if you're floating out of body, the next step is to, you know, travel somewhere. So the question is, you might be out of body. The real trick is, take that body and do something with it. Travel, flying is an example. Walking through walls is another. If you do fly in dreams or flying out of body, the other concern you have is, which I've had before, is running into power lines. I mean, because they're everywhere, and it just seems to be if you start flying, what do you do when you run into a power line? And you get entangled in it. That's what happens.
Yeah. Never thought about that. I mean, I would think that.
I thought we would traveling and just swoosh right through.
Well, you would think, but that, you know, there's different levels of frequency.
Yeah.
And power lines, when you get close to them, they have this hum to it and this kind of frequency. And it just depends on what level you're at, because you have different levels when you leave your body.
Right. Well, you know, the out-of-body experience is a component of many near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those respondents talk about walking through walls or walking through people as if they didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, it, you know, there are varying degrees, as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Describe how your out-of-body experience made you feel. One answer was, it was a pleasurable experience. I was able to view my own body. I was able to think clearly while out of body. And we also asked, my experience was confusing, I was uncomfortable and somewhat fearful. 53% said it was a pleasurable experience. 37% said that they were able to view their own body. 53% that they were able to think clearly while out of body. I guess that would be similar to a lucid dream.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 8% said that their experience was confusing. 12% said that they were uncomfortable and somewhat fearful. So, it seems that we've got a split. The next thing that we did is we asked people to share some of their experiences. Some of them were very, very interesting. So we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to start off with some of the responses that you wrote to us about. And if you have any additional comments to make, please call in at 1-888-627-6008. We'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wind Bridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about out-of-body experiences. And while we were off air, we were talking about dreams, and maybe there's a fine line, you know, with dreams and out-of-body experiences. Like if somebody has a, we talk a lot about having a dream visit, right, where you have a visit by somebody, or you meet somebody that's no longer in the physical, and somebody from the spirit world. So, is that an out of body, or is it only an out of body if you're you're so called traveling to them, as opposed to them coming to you? Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the dream, it's hard to differentiate, you know, whatever. So, I mean, what do you think?
Well, things are very vivid. I mean, in an out of body experience. I find it, the color is more intense, the people are more intense, the experience are more intense, and you can kind of tell the difference between a dream. But again, there is a fine line between dreaming and OBE.
So Richard, you have, I wouldn't say induced, but you've tried to willfully have an out-of-body experience. This wasn't something that spontaneously happened.
And I've learned, actually working with William Buhlman, who's been doing out-of-body traveling for over 30 years, and he's written several books on it, and he does classes teaching you different techniques to induce not just an out-of-body experience, but a controlled out-of-body experience, where you have control of the event, and that helps you remember it, too. And so in a situation, it's just, you know, dreams, sometimes you just go from one place to another, and it's scary and frightening. Whereas an out-of-body experience, if you don't like what's happening, it's kind of like lucid dreaming in a way, you can certain key phrases like awareness now or door now, or and you can then leave that scene and enter another scene. So you're controlling what it's how it's going, and so you're not out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of people find comfortable, is being able to be in control and control the experience. And also, you can make the experience and grow. But at the same time, you can sit back and enjoy it, and walk through walls, and do all the things, and fly, and do all the things that you always dream of doing, but you don't normally do here. And then when you come back, you say to yourself, "Well, why can't I do it here?"
Yeah.
But it doesn't work because I try to walk through a wall and I hurt my head.
I noticed a bruise.
Yeah.
So, while you're in this, having this out-of-body experience, you can change the course. Like, you can willfully make a decision, okay, I think I'm going to travel to so-and-so's house now.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
You can just be instantly there.
You can go there, and actually you can go there, check out at the house as it is right now, and observe what that person is doing, and then the next day call them up and say, you know, I noticed that you were sitting by your fire reading Gone with the Wind last night. How did you like page 326 that you were on?
Right.
And they sit there going, what? How did you know that? Like, some people have had that experience. I have not specifically had that experience, but those things do happen.
Yeah. And some of the comments from, you know, the participants in these things, some of the things we're talking about.
Can I ask Richard what you just described? That you could, would that, is that similar to remote viewing?
In a way, it is, because I mean, if you say remote viewing is being able to remote and view a location far, far away, but in this situation where remote viewing, they're psychically seeing, but they're not necessarily going to that site. Now, some remote viewers do. They go to the actual site and observe it and whatever, and the psychic spies do that. But also, in out-of-body, you're traveling or projecting your spirit or your astral body or whatever you want to call it to that location. And then the other question is in time and time frame, where you are. I mean, you want to be, if you're trying to go to a friend's house during this time presence period, you've got to be very specific. Otherwise, you may be there tomorrow or yesterday or a year from now.
Oh, my. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Well, talking about, how so many things are intertwined, you know, out of bodies and dreaming and remote viewing and near-death experiences, one comment a participant wrote, you know, during an early morning dream, I was on a plane that was crashing over a body of water. I held hands and prayed with the woman sitting next to me. My dream was very vivid and upsetting. Then while driving to work, I heard in the news the report of the crash. The dream and the crash took place at the same time the plane crashed into the Long Island Sound.
Mm-hmm.
So now here you have, I'm asking about to describe your out-of-body experience, and, you know, is this an out-of-body experience or is this remote viewing? I don't know.
Like some kind of psychic.
It was a precognitive dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess it would fall into that category. I mean, she dreamed about exactly what happened, and then it happened. We hear so many reports about that. People before 9/11, and you know, before tragedies, that have this feeling, and you know, but she had this vivid dream. Understandably, it was upsetting, you know, because you're dreaming about a plane going down, and then when you hear that the plane actually went down. That's kind of, I guess on the one hand, it's somewhat frightening. On the other hand, there's some degree of satisfaction that you were able to do this.
Yeah.
But what do you do with these?
Right. That you couldn't stop it.
That you couldn't stop it. Yeah.
Or maybe you were there to help that person and comfort them as that event takes place. Because
mm-hmm.
you know, some trained out-of-body travelers actually go over and help people at disaster sites. They'll show up after a plane crash or after a earthquake, and people who don't really realize they're dead, they're still sitting in their body and in the rubble, and they come along, and the out-of-body person comes along and grabs their hand, takes them.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've interviewed, you know, guests that talk about this, you know, like a third man syndrome, like people that are mountain climbing and stranded and you know, they're dying. And then they have, you know, of course, a lot of people describe it as a guide or an angel come to them and comfort them and guide them through it. And nobody else sees this person, but it could be somebody, as Richard described, that's
they're still alive here in this world, and they're acting as a helper, helping them to the next step. So, you know, it just goes to show that we're more than a body,
right?
That we're spirit. And so, you know, when we die, we just become who we really are,
right?
That spirit.
Now, I just mentioned the term astral traveling, and you know, we're talking about out-of-body experiences. Are those terms interchangeable? I mean, I've read that people use the term astral traveling more in an esoteric type of thing, you know, where there's spirit involvement as opposed to maybe a more clinical explanation of going out of body. I mean, do you see them?
What it is, we originally used to talk about is your astral body. Your spirit body was your astral body, which was really part of this astral world. And then the terminologies have changed to being your spirit body, which is part of the spirit world or the etheric world. Those terms were all interchangeable. It's just whatever feels comfortable with you. But it used to be consistently, you know, astral traveling. I mean, Robert Monroe talked about astral traveling, and it's an older terminology. And then there's the Akashic Record, which you can go to and read about all the records of things that ever happened.
Right.
So, but, you know, we're dealing with terminology here, but we're basically talking about the spirit body, out of the body, doing things and traveling in a realm that is really our home.
Right. One person writes, well, this has happened quite a bit, and mostly when I meditate. It feels like there is no weight anchoring me down. I believe that I am in spirit form then. I am aware of what is around me. Similar to what we hear people saying, well, I'm free of my physical body. I have, you know, I'm weightless. I have no, you know, no density and
that's right.
Being free.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're reminding me there, Bob, some book I had read where the woman visited her brother on the other side, and she spoke about through the whole experience, and she went several times to visit her brother, that a silver cord stayed connected. And as long as that cord was connected, she was still alive. She knew she hadn't passed on. So in traveling, is there any cord involved?
There is a cord, there is a cord if you want to look for it, yes. I know some people have taken the cord, grabbed a hold of it, and created an astral or an etheric knife and tried to cut it.
Oh.
So it doesn't cut. You can't break it. You can't cut it. So, but it's there. I know another gentleman who was a very well-known astral traveler and or spirit traveler, and he was meditating and left his body, and his dog was next to him, laying next to the couch, and his dog got out of his body and followed him into the astral realm. He looked, you know, there aren't mirrors there, so you can't really see what you look like. But he looked back at his dog, and there was the shape of his dog, but inside the dog was filled with little stars, like a galaxy and stars inside the dog that were sparkling. And so he said to himself, well, that must be what I look like. But like I said, there are no mirrors there, so you can't really look in the mirror and see what you look like.
Well, that makes me wonder, do people do this together? And they would each look at the other and see those.
That does happen, and there's people who meet each other. There are rendezvous on the other side.
Yeah.
There is sexual relations
on
the other
side. So they're cheating, and nobody even knows it.
From what I understand, I have not had this experience. They say.
Nor would he admit it.
Sex on the other side is better than sex here.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there are many reports of people, what you described, of having joint out-of-body experiences, and they set the intention of meeting up while out-of-body, and they do. Even in Monroe, when they have these groups, and several people, have conversations while out-of-body, and then when they come back, they share notes and describe it, so it does happen. I've also read a lot of people that go out of body that they describe when they come back into body, there's sometimes some sort of a pop or a noise, which is common in the near-death experiences. You know, people are thrust back or slammed back into the body. So that there's a similarity.
And there's also a scary rushing sound sometimes when you leave your body.
Yeah.
Like the roaring of a jet engine. And some people really get nervous about that. But it only lasts for a few seconds, and then all of a sudden you're out. But yes, there is the pop sound, too, some people have.
And the pop is returning. The whoosh might be exiting.
That's whoosh is exiting, yeah. And the pop is returning. But it doesn't all happen to everybody. Some people, it doesn't.
this woman, well, I don't know, it's a woman, so somebody wrote in, during brain surgery to remove a benign tumor, I was suddenly standing behind the surgeon, looking over his shoulder as he removed my skull with flesh hanging off it.
Mm.
The OR team let out a O and some ooze as he placed it in a metal dish with liquid. Later, I read the OR report, and it said some of my brain lining had fused to the bone and came off with it. So I don't know. Is that a is this the OBE component of a near-death experience?
It's a good example of somebody who was standing out of body in the room watching the event. Right. I wouldn't hang around.
No, but, you know, could you imagine describing that to the surgeon afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and what his or her reaction might be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, how would
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
It's crazy.
That's right.
As a traumatized child out of body, I stayed in physical, saw different, and I saw a different perspective. In dream, where souls let me experience the soul leaving the body upon death, it left my body. I'm having a hard time making sense of this. Saw the self, space, and constellation. Became and felt one with all existence, though not allowed to go onward. What glory, most exquisite experience. So, what I take out of it is what is common in a lot of near-death experiences, you know, became one with all, you know,
and
comforting, but not allowed to go forward, you know, I guess being sent back, and that's a near-death experience.
That's more of a near-death experience than being sent back.
Yeah.
But his
person says it was brief. I had been very upset about something. I went to sleep, but then I woke up. I left my body, my energy, with all awareness of where I was, quickly flew down the hallway, hovering a few feet off the ground, turned the corner, and continued toward the front door. It went through the closed door to the outside, and then I came back into my body. So there's somebody, like we said, that the door's with no obstacle.
That's right.
Moved through the house, down the hallway, and exactly what you were describing before. When I was in my 20s, I had taken pain medication, which made me sick. I woke up in the room feeling great, able to see in the dark and look down on my body. Well, there we don't know whether the pain medication caused the hallucinatory, or maybe it allowed it. You know, there's no way of determining that. My first OBE was as a young child asleep. I was trying to make my siblings get up and play with me. I went to visit my uncle in astral body as a kid. Later, I was able to do it at will. Did not like it. So I guess it's somewhat scary to a little kid. You know?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, you can also go out of body and visit your dead relatives or friends, and you discover that they're very active at doing other things. Sometimes they'll spend the time with you, and sometimes they just see you in passing. But it, you know, it just goes to show you that there's a continuance of life, and you can be a part of it even though you're still alive in this realm.
All right, we've got lots more to discuss, but we're going to go to a short break. We come back, we're going to be reading more of your experiences, so stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about out-of-body experiences, and you, the listeners, have written in with some of your experiences, and we've been reading them. We have another one here that, when asked to describe her out-of-body, she says, I don't know why I keep saying she. I have no idea it was a she or a he. But dreaming, I looked around my sister's dorm room. I knew it was here based on bulletin boards. The room had closets along a wall. I looked in one and looked back out, and suddenly I saw my sister at the other side of the room. I said, "You're in my dream," and she said the same. I told her the next day. She said the previous night she dreamt we flew together.
Wow.
That's interesting. You know, yeah. Two people communicating. We were talking about that before. Evidently it happens, you know, more common than we think. Another person writes, "I was floating in a white gown, and I met my soulmate who showed me a house he had for me. It was a beautiful white marble. He said everyone was coming over to greet me, and then I saw what was a beautiful table with the most gorgeous flowers. The colors were indescribable. I saw a favorite cousin. When I kissed him, when I kissed his arm, my body was electrified with love." Now, that sounds like an NDE to me, you know.
Yep.
So there, so many of these descriptions sound like, you know, so very similar to a near-death experience. So, again, there's a fine line. Another one wrote, I have felt fearful a time or two, but this is not the usual feeling, and when it comes, I slam back into my body, which can be uncomfortable, mostly if it has been a matter of either waking up in the dream or a strong sense of vibration comes and I leave on this energy. I have one, it said here, it's only happened once. It was during a dream. I still vividly remember being out of my body and telling my body to open my eyes, yet my eyes would not open and my body did not wake up. But I had all consciousness. Frankly, it was kind of scary. I fell into non-conscious sleep, then woke up, no idea of the time frame, but I clearly recall the experience.
Well, that brings about vision. Vision's interesting because what you oftentimes have is 360-degree vision or the omnipotent vision. So, again, we're not really out of body looking through our eyes. And the interesting story is that some people who are blind here and can experience out of body, and when they go out of body, they can see.
Wow.
So the spirit is not blind, and maybe the body's not operating or functioning properly, but you still have this incredible vision. And so it's kind of like vision, awareness, knowledge. It's all expanded, and you come back, and then you try to analyze it, but you're limited to your ideas and your mind and your physical body. And so you sometimes just only have a sense of it. It would help that if you've had a vivid dream or had a what you consider to be an out-of-body experience, leave a piece of paper and a pen near your bed. And then when you awake in the morning, sit down and just write whatever comes to you. And if you remember part of the dream or part of the experience, you'll start writing it, and all of a sudden, more and more pieces will come to you, and before you know it, you'll have the page filled with information and ideas. And you do this, just continually do this, each day, each night, or each day. And what you're telling your conscious mind is, you really take this seriously. And your conscious mind will finally realize, well, oh, okay, we'll remember it now. And you'll get better and better at remembering. But when you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, I don't dream at night. Well, everybody dreams at night. I didn't have an experience at night. Well, everybody has an experience at night. It's just a matter of remembering or willing to remember.
Mm. Tom's given that advice to some of our callers when they talk about their dreams, just to remember their dreams, because it shows that you are taking it seriously.
Yes.
And that you will be open to spirit coming to you with messages.
So right, right.
It's important.
Well, while we're on that subject, you know, one of the things is paying attention to your dreams. When you go to, as you have, to these formal training classes, mm-hmm. you know, for people that want to go, I mean, I know we don't have much time, but are there a couple of things that you can tell us about people that may be interested in learning how to go out, you know, out of their body?
I mean, there's a lot of very good books on the subject, a lot of training that takes place, like at the Monroe Institute. But you can also, check the books written by William Buhlman. He has it's a how-to-do book telling you how to do some of the exercises that you can practice to go out of body.
And incidentally, he's been on our radio show, so in our radio archives, there's probably links to his books,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, I mean, there are some helpful places. He's just good because he has some good experience, and a lot of people who have used the techniques, and those techniques are not unusual. It's not created by him. It's been around for a long time, the different styles and techniques that feel comfortable for different people. And there's not one way to do it. There's multiple ways to do it, so you can find one that you find more comfortable.
Right, and they, I mean, you stressed before that, you know, that you're in control of the situation.
That's
I mean,
right.
You were never fearful while you were out of body that perhaps you wouldn't be able to get back in?
No, not necessarily that, but you might have a little problem with some of the people or things that you meet in situations that you might get fearful, but you know, if it gets too overwhelming, all you have to do is think of your body or think of body now, and all of a sudden, you're back.
You're back in.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I guess it is important to go to have a mentor or go to some formal training in these things rather than...
To give you some insight now how to control it.
Yeah.
Anne has had that training, too, and she's found it helpful, haven't you, Anne?
Yeah, very helpful.
Another person writes, as a child, I used to frequently travel out of body. As I was going to sleep, I'd suddenly see myself floating in the room. There were bright grids of color and like lights. It was confusing, and I sometimes liked the sensation, sometimes not. I felt a little bit out of control. At the same time, it was really amazing. I stopped when I got older. It seems that a lot of people have, especially as a young child, are somewhat confused, understandable, but at the same time, elated, you know, at the things they see, more vibrant colors and being able to navigate around the room. So, you know, I didn't ask whether the rest of our panel has ever had an out-of-body experience. So, Fran, have you...
According to Richard, we all have. So, yes, I have.
As per Richard. And Melissa, as per Richard, have you had a...
As per Richard, yes. However, I would like to have been more aware of it. I'd like to definitively say.
That's the beginning right there.
And Anne, when Richard is out of body and you're next to him, have you ever witnessed astral Richard as opposed to physical Richard?
No, I would not say that I have, but I think he's experienced maybe astral.
Astral Anne?
Anne.
Astral
Anne.
Oh, yes, I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I didn't see stars shining in you and stuff. I mean, I just saw you. So.
Were you in your physical body seeing her go off on a journey?
No. Okay. I'm in the astral body. Yeah. At least I don't think so.
I just wondered if you would say, "Oh, she's gone again," or if you would say that.
And Bob, how about you?
Good answer. Good question answer.
Not that you know, only through. I've never had a dream where I was flying. You know, not that I recall, had a dream where I was looking down at my body. I mean, I don't know. Usually in a dream, I'm just there, you know, where I am. I never take notice of how I got there or why I'm there. I'm just there. So I don't know that I've had what I would describe as an out-of-body experience.
Have you had family members you've met in your dream?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So then that raises the question, you know, are they traveling to me or am I traveling to you or is there a distinction between the two? So I don't know. Maybe that is an out-of-body experience.
In the dream state, there's probably several dimensions, and when other people are dreaming, you're meeting up in those same, in your mutual dimensions.
Yeah. You know, I guess I would take that back now that you mentioned it, you know, because I've had, you know, a dream where I visited somebody who's deceased, and I was in her home when she was, her physical home.
Uh-huh.
And I was able afterwards, you know, to describe the physical home exactly, even though it was a home I was never in. So I did mm-hmm. travel to that mm-hmm. home, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so, because I was standing in that home talking to her.
Yeah.
So I take that back.
You go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You are an out-of-body traveler.
Yeah, I'm we'll have to take a trip together sometime.
And I would like to revisit the children thing, because I think that what's being said here is being miscommunicated to our listeners. You keep saying things like, or insinuating that when children have these experiences that it may be negative. But I think it's only negative or challenging if they've been indoctrinated into the physical world. I think, and from my own perspective as a child who traveled out of the crib, and I remember it very vividly, there's no fear involved. There's no negativity. There was no feeling that anything was wrong or not happening the way it was supposed to be happening, because I was a little kid and nobody told me that this was wrong or this couldn't happen or this wasn't
allowed. There's nothing to be afraid of.
So there's nothing to be afraid of unless somebody already puts fear into your thoughts.
Right. And this is where parents end up saying to the child, and the child says, oh, I had this experience. And I say, oh, honey, it was just a dream. Don't worry about it. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'd like to thank Richard and Ann Hutchinson for being here, and, of course, Melissa Gould and the lovely Fran Ginsberg. And,
we thank you.
And with, now it's time to wrap up.
Our listeners, we can ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Scott Calzia, Donald Peterson, Judy Pernick, Donna Mello, David Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Skandarian, Jeanette Davies, Marian Pierschka, Julie Beischel, Ann Hutchinson, David Haith, Rita Springer, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Renata Santarelli, Lynn LeClaire, Matt Mello, Joe, Andrea Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mewling, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen LaFada, Wendy Lippo, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, Erica, and Betty Kovach. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.